The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Tuesday, August 27th. And once again, this is C.A. Nuri and I shall be your host for today. Today, as usual, we have Uncle Sarah, Dr. Cleveland Aeneas III, who's going to be our guest panelist for today. Right? Today, we speak in magic. Does magic exist? The reason for this conversation is because I find that there's magic in the church. I find that if you have a broken limb, you can go to church and have that limb fixed. True magic. True a miracle. You can get healing. And I want to know, is there any biblical reference regarding magic? I want to know that if I go to a healer, a divination person, what do you call it, divination? A person who speaks to spirits? Am I speaking to, you know, what can I be speaking to my ancestors, right? And I say, let me conjure them up here. If I go to a particular church, let me see if I can pick a church, Uncle Michael Road. That's any random church, right? And if I go to that pastor, let me see if I can pick a pastor, any random pastor, who happens to be female, right? And if I say, pastor, I need you to tell me my future. I need you to tell me whether what the Lord says for me predicted. I want to know if there's any power. Why are you looking at me like that, Aaron? I'm talking magic. I want to know if there's any power in that. Does that exist? Or these people, nay, are people making it up? There's a scripture inside the Bible, and I'm having Aaron look it up for me right now. With Saul. No, there's a poem that says, Saul killed 10,000, something like that. Or Saul killed 10,000, David killed 100,000 during the war. When Saul lost the spirit of God, the touching, the anointment of God, right? And in his desperation, he sought out a witch. I'm not sure if witches exist.
Why are you looking at me?
I'm not saying you're a witch. I'm just saying I'm looking at you at this present time, Aaron. That guilt is being shit sometimes. Anyway, that Saul went and sought out a witch. But this witch had power. And that's why I'm beating the doctor here, right? Because I want to know if witches have power, right? I was talking to one of my sisters, right? I was going to say in-laws, but that's going to just cause problems. Who believes that there are Bahamian people who have powers. Witches. They just go and try plot against people and fix people. You ever heard that Bahamians could fix people, Aaron? Do you believe people could fix you? Don't look at me.
I met somebody trying to fix me right up the other day, but
that's a different type of fix. I talk about fix with magic.
He's trying to fight me.
Yeah, I talk about fix with magic. Do you believe in fixing, that people can fix you?
No.
You don't believe that?
No.
There are Christian people in this country who believe in magic. They believe in witchcraft. They believe that there are Bahamians, because I only deal with Bahamians today, is go to the Obia man, because Obia man just do potions, or the people who do magic and fix you. They decent people. I talk about people who are educated. And I want to have conversations today on whether there is magic. Does magic exist? But I still want to read that same scripture. I want you, you find it, right?
Yeah, I found it.
I want to read that in evidence, because the Bible mentions something, and I want to know who was Saul talking to. And whether this person had any kind of powers, and I'll go to the Christianity, right? Mm-hmm. And whether in this version of Christianity, there's any mention of magic. Does magic exist? But let's read that scripture there. Just so the Christian people who listens to the station, who is always ready to challenge Uncle Sarah on his interpretation of the Bible, so they could have this as the basics, so they could come back and say, "But Dr. Aeneas, you're wrong." But go ahead.
All right, so we're reading from 1 Samuel, starting at verse 28. The the Bible Gateway app that I'm reading from has captioned or titled this segment, The Witch of Endor.
So the Bible mentions witches.
Yep.
So witches is a thing. Okay, the Bible mentions a thing. I cool with that.
The Bible mentioned unicorns too.
But unicorns is a thing.
Yeah, I know.
And Chikchani. Let me move. Bible mentions unicorn too, for true?
Yeah. You'd be surprised to know what a unicorn is.
And said unicorn's real?
Yeah.
And drag. And anyway, go finish that. The Bible mentions unicorns?
Yeah.
Okay, no, go ahead.
Before you stress out, a unicorn is like a unihorn. Have you seen an animal before with a unihorn? Rhinoceros.
They have two horns, man.
They have one horned rhinoceros?
I could Google rhinoceros while I should read the scripture because I saw the rhinoceros.
First Samuel 28.
But the Bible is an African story. You don't think we know what a unicorn is?
We do. I
don't think we know what a rhinoceros is.
It's not rhinoceros African. We didn't call it a unicorn. Somebody else called it a unicorn.
The foreign Europeans again.
First Samuel verse 28.
Go ahead.
In those days, the Philistines gathered their troops for war in order to fight Israel. Achish said to David, "You should fully understand that you and your men must go with me into the battle." David replied to Achish, "That being the case, you will come to know what your servant can do." Achish said to David, "Then I will make you my bodyguard from now on." Now Samuel had died, and all Israel had lamented over him and had buried him in Ramah, his hometown. In the meantime, Saul had removed the mediums and magicians from the land. The Philistines assembled. They came and camped at Shunem.
May I pause you there?
Yeah. Why you didn't pause me after 28? Because that's like the open. I like it. It's like a movie opening.
You should stop. I want to know what medium and magicians means.
You look at. You want me to look that up?
Doesn't medium speak people who talk between the spirits? And magicians are people who just know magic. Continue.
You acting like I know magic or mediums. Now Samuel had died and had buried him in Ramah, his hometown. In the meantime, Saul had removed the mediums and magicians from the land. The Philistines assembled. They came and camped at Shunem. Saul mustered all Israel and camped at Gilboa. When Saul saw the camp of the Philistines, he was absolutely terrified. So Saul inquired of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him, not by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by the prophets. Stick a pin there. He said God didn't answer him, not by dreams. Mm-hmm. The magic people say spirit is telling them things in dreams. Hold on.
My mother had a dream book. I used to say, "Mommy, that's magic. Throw away that dream book."
Nor by Urim.
I know what that is.
U-R-I-M.
Stones. Those are stones.
Remember we talked about stones and those crystals and everyone getting these beads around their ankles and their bracelets thing and say they magic? They from that, what they call it? What the ladies call it? They from the water, the marine kingdom. That we getting all these precious stones. Anyway, go ahead, finish, read. Stones.
Nor by the prophets. So Saul instructed his servants, "Find me a woman who is a medium so that I may go to her and inquire of her." His servants replied to him, "There is a woman who is a medium in Endor." So Saul disguised himself and put on other clothing and left, accompanied by two of his men. They came to the woman at night and said, "Use your ritual pit to conjure up for me the one I tell you." But the woman said to him, "Look, you are aware of what Saul has done. He has removed the mediums and magicians from the land. Why are you trapping me? So you can put me to death?" But Saul swore an oath to her by the Lord, "As surely as the Lord lives, you will not incur guilt in this matter." The woman replied, "Who is it that I should bring up for you?" He said, "Bring up for me Samuel." When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out loudly. The woman said to Saul, "Why have you deceived me? You are Saul." The king said to her, "Don't be afraid, but what have you seen?" The woman replied to Saul, "I have seen a divine being coming up from the ground."
You've seen what?
A divine being.
Okay, continue.
Coming up from the ground. He said about his appearance. She said, "An old man is coming up. He is wrapped in a robe." Then Saul realized it was Samuel, and he bowed his face toward the ground and kneeled down.
So who realized what?
The medium realized that the man was Saul, and then Saul realized that the image was Samuel.
So not the medium, but Saul realized that whatever this image is who he was looking for. I find a definition for medium. A medium is a psychic who has a fine-tuned his or her extrasensory perception and can interface with the spirits in order and in other dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, no problem. Go ahead.
I want to start from the beginning of that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Then Saul realized it was Samuel and toward the ground and kneeled down. Full stop. I thought you was going to stick a pin there. Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?"
Pause there. Now you know me. Anything inside the Bible I agree with, I believe. I ain't judging, I don't even doubt.
Mm-hmm.
To me, this seems to be like the real Saul and the real Samuel. Just from reading that, it don't seem to be a fake one. It just, you know, because I know some of these mediums, is they bring up any contra up anything and say, yeah, that's who you want to deal with. But this seemed to be real.
Right. Important that Saul the king recognized Samuel, and then the medium recognized the king.
Mm-hmm.
Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? Saul replied, "I am terribly troubled. The Philistines are fighting against me, and God has turned away from me. He does not answer me anymore, not by the prophets nor by dreams. So I've called on you to tell me what I should." You ain't gonna stick a pin there, neither? Okay, no, I can keep reading.
I see. When you start conjuring up dead people, it don't end well.
Samuel said, "Why are you asking me now that the Lord has turned away from you and has become your enemy? The Lord has done exactly as I prophesied. The Lord has torn the kingdom from your hand and has given it to your neighbor David. Since you did not obey the Lord and did not carry out his fierce anger against the Amalekites, the Lord has done this thing to you today. The Lord will hand you and Israel over to the Philistines. Tomorrow, both you and your sons will be with me."
Dead?
I scared. "The Lord will also hand the army of Israel over to the Philistines."
So this conjured up spirit, whatever it is, seems to be able to prophesy. It seems to know some kind of truth.
Mm-hmm.
Because it came true. It came into being. So this conjuring up entity seems to have some type of power. Go ahead.
Saul quickly fell full length on the ground and was very afraid because of Samuel's words. He was
Wait, because of whose words?
Samuel's words.
So the Bible acknowledging that this is definitely Samuel. I mean, just continue reading. Go ahead.
He was completely drained of energy, having not eaten anything all that day and night. When the woman came to Saul and saw how terrified he was, she said to him, "Your servant has done what you asked. I took my life into my own hands and did what you told me. Now it's your turn to listen to your servant. Let me set before you a bit of bread so that you can eat. When you regain your strength, you can go on your way." But he refused, saying, "I won't eat." Both his servants and the woman urged him to eat, so he gave in. He got up from the ground and sat down on the bed. Now the woman had a well-fed calf at her home that she quickly slaughtered. Taking some flour, she kneaded it and baked bread without leaven. She brought it to Saul and his servants, and they ate. Then they arose and left that same night.
Okay, that's where we stop here and invite the doctor to join us. Anytime you slaughter cows and thing, that's obia. You say she cook it. See, I just say, anyway, that's just me. So now I've started our conversation. I'd like to introduce you again, the Cahoon for the Coptic Church for the Black Messiah. The only critical, what is his title again, Aaron? Critical analysis, what is it?
He's a doctor in critical theology.
It's critical theology that I know, locally. I know we have various doctors in various theology and stuff, but not critical theology, right? Mm-hmm. So that's something new concept.
I think the closest I could think is maybe Dr. Keith Russell.
What is his title?
I think you have a doctorate in divinity.
Divinity and critical theology is two different things.
But he's one of the most public critical thinkers I know.
But does he apply different religion?
I think so.
Okay, cool. I need to invite him on. Let's start asking about this Obia thing in the Bible.
I mean, I didn't say invite him on to talk about Obia, but no? I'm just saying.
Listen, okay. Without further ado, of course, you know he's going to reintroduce himself to make sure everyone be on one accord. Welcome again, Dr. Iniet.
Good morning, and Namastu. Namastu means that I bow to the divinity within you. My name is Pastor Dr. Cleveland W. Iniet III, also known as Kahun Anku Sara. I'm the head priest of the Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah here in the Bahamas. And it's always great to be here with my brother and sister on a Tuesday, where today we are talking about magic. I think what we have to first clarify is that what has happened to us as a people is that children's fairy tales have become adult religions. Children's fairy tales have become adult religions. So when we start to talk about magic, if we are honest, most of us go back to our childhood understanding of magic, whether we were introduced at a magic show, or if we were introduced through cartoons, or if we were introduced through nursery rhymes, you know, Cinderella. She lost her shoe and this pumpkin turned into a chariot and et cetera, et cetera. You have all of these different stories and there's fun in it, but there's a danger to it because when you become an adult, they remove the fairy tales and then you start believing in a version of the fairy tales that is the Greco-Roman interpretation of the original books of the Bible. I'm being very careful with how I say it because I am not speaking out against the Bible as much as I am the interpretation and, in fact, the missing of what we're calling the Bible today. So when you read stories about people conjuring up dead people, etc., let's be mindful that the Messiah, when he went on the Mount of Transfiguration, he saw Elijah and Moses, who had been dead long before him. Long time before him.
A text right. reminds yep. us Moses and Pharaoh's wise men turned their staffs into yes. snakes, and then Moses' snake eat the right. Pharaoh, them snake.
And in fact, the word they use for magicians in that, in Exodus chapter 7, is the word Khartoum. Khartoum is the capital of Sudan. All right? It's speaking to a actual geographical area now, whereby if we want to understand what those magicians have done, and we have to understand what magic is being called today, is in Sudan, right? Ultimately, you see those who were utilizing a science referred to as alchemy. In Sudan, they would refer to this as alchemy. By the time as the Greco-Romans get their hands on it, they're calling it miracles. In the Greek, they're saying dunamis. This mighty, powerful work that they say the Messiah was able to do. But remember, the Messiah was taught in Africa. He was protected in Africa, but while he was being protected there, he was being taught. And so he was learning a form of science that ultimately is known as alchemy. We have this form of alchemy in schools as chemistry. All right, and when you understand chemistry and you understand the periodic table and you understand that each element has an attribute and a guardian angelic host over it. Now, they don't teach you that part in school. They just teach you the element. But each element actually has an attribute. Each element also has a guardian angelic host. And these guardian angelic hosts were referred to as alchemy because they were responsible for uncovering the uses of these elements, all right? They utilized their understanding of what the Most High had given us by way of nature. And once we were able to study, for example, plants, let's use that as an example, we knew that there were some leaves or some bark that could heal, and there were others that could kill. So we would take the portion that could kill, and we're going to dip off. And if any intruders come, we can shoot them not just with the arrow, but with the actual poison.
Or something even simpler, mm-hmm. right? Like you can create a gel from animal organics, from plant organics, or from marine life, right? So from carrageenan and sea moss, right. From the gelatin from mammal bones, or from the liquid produced from cooking beans, aquafaba, right? But like, so that type of thing, understanding how science. Things work, yeah.
So what happened is, like science, magic also has facts, theories, and opinions. So the people who were interested in the opinions of magic or the fairy tales of magic or those who represented what were referred to as the Magi, that's M-A-G-I. You had two groups. You had the Magi, so these would be like the three wise men that came to the Messiah and brought frankincense, gold, and myrrh. All right? They never explained why they referred to them as wise men, even when they have what's called Epiphany in some churches, they refer to these three wise men as pagan, right? But these three wise men are responsible for protecting this Messiah so that he could grow up to do the great works that he was able to do. But these, so you had two levels or two courses of what is referred to as magic. You had an actual lower magic, and this lower magic is one that teaches that whatever surrounds you is what controls you, all right? And then you had, this lower magic is called unnatural magic, and then you had a higher nature or higher magic, which said that you had a power within, all right? This the true light comes into the world. It talks about, in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 22, when your two eyes become one, then thy body shall be full of light. So this higher magic dealt with telepathy and clairvoyance and clairaudience and telekinesis, and it also dealt with what's called magella, or mystical letters, or the understanding of how letters and numbers actually work together to give new meaning to what we're reading in scripture, what we're reading on the walls, or which is a part of the original books of the Bible. We didn't only write in books. We wrote on walls. We wrote on leather. We wrote in different places, so that we could keep the science aspect of our true religious identity among the priesthood and among those who were worthy of those sciences. But when the invaders came, the interpretation of it would not be clear to them if they had not been schooled, if they didn't understand what it was that we were teaching. We didn't teach this. Mm-hmm. And so when they didn't understand the science of it, they said, oh, well, that's magic. They don't understand it. So it's something that they don't understand. They just say it's magic. But it was always something that's based in science.
Like in my business, I sell a drink. I have we have a gimmick drink.
Yeah.
That starts off blue, and then I could turn it purple, and then I could turn it pink.
Right.
And I treat it like a magic trick for kids at workshops, right?
Right.
But it's just science.
It's just science.
Yeah.
It's just science. And so what has happened is the original tools. They talked about the Urim. In Exodus 28, they talk about the actual dress of the high priest. And part of their dress code was a breastplate with 12 stones. Each tribe had a stone assigned to them. And they also had what was referred to as Urim and Thummim. And these Urim and Thummim represented these illuminating and life-charting stones of the Nazarites. The Nazarites, these stones, to ultimately read the energies of the universe, to ultimately utilize and understand what nature is saying to us versus this magala.
You're saying that there are some stones that has energy and magic in it?
So when we use river stones, the river stones, this is what the priests in Exodus 28 were using. The river stones are formed by the water coursing over it for, you know, many
continuously years.
Yeah. And so there's an energy in these stones, you understand? And once you are aware of how to utilize that energy is always speaking to us, or always something that we can tap into.
Let me ask you something while Mr. Newry is here.
Yeah.
So I've been reading a whole bunch of stuff recently I touched on this little thing that said, hey, the numbers 8 and 9 have actually been switched, right? And it makes sense to me because 8 is the infinity symbol. Mm. And 9 is almost the infinity symbol, but not quite, right?
Right.
It's like there's a piece missing. And the text that I was reading from suggested a similar thing, that the two theories, either it was switched intentionally to hide the what Mr. Nuri would call magic, or the science, right? From those who should not have access to it.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is that it was done to hide it from those who it belonged to, right? So that those who reinterpreted the Bible with a Greco-Roman perspective would have intentionally switched it so that we don't understand the power of the numbers. As a numbers person, it made sense to me because the 9 is like incomplete 8.
So within this Magella, and then you have what's called Abjud. The Abjud is also a form of again understanding how these numbers operate within nature. We in the Holy Coptic Church, we as Nazarites, we know that each number has as many angles in it as it acts. So,
right.
So one has one angle.
Right.
Two has two angles. Three has three. And so the way that we draw it is not in the curved way that you see. It's actually drawn with angles.
Yep.
So when you draw an 8, it has 8 angles. When you draw a 9, the way it's supposed to be drawn, it actually has 9 angles.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And then, of course, by the time as you get to 10, you're really at a composite number of 1. And then you have this cipher with a dot in the middle, which is actually a symbol for the sun, because that sun
is the rotation.
Not only the rotation, but out of the sun comes the elements.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the elements on the periodic table of the stars. If you look at a periodic table in its original form, it was actually a circle with 7 different layers, which is actually the anatomy of a star.
Mm-hmm.
If you do what's called solar biology, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the reality then is that we as Africans, we had a science that the Greco-Romans didn't understand, still don't understand today. And whatever they don't understand, it becomes magic and philosophy.
Producer, let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm okay. Good morning.
Blessings.
Right?
Yes, my brother.
You know, what's funny for me is I was just having this conversation with my brother about 20 minutes ago, and he started off from last night, right?
Mm-hmm.
In which, firstly, I agree with everything what Angu said, and Aaron, the statement that you made about twisting the history, the religious history, and then making the pair strange to the originators of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly where I'm leading, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Angu, I don't know, you know, I'm always reading, but I slow down a lot. So recently, I say about a few months ago, or this year sometime, they discovered some polymetallic rocks, right, as it relates to alchemy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And these rocks are polymetallic. I think they said it's somewhere off the coast between Hawaii and the Californian coast.
Mm-hmm.
And so the explorers up there used these stones to create a better lithium battery, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now what happens is further studies show that these rocks emit oxygen. And so I remember reading this, and so now they're saying that they wouldn't allow this company to monopolize this particular market, but this is what they're after.
Mm.
And so this all of this relates to, Anku, you mentioned something about telepathy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know you might remember this, but it's very vague in my mind, in which even in Teotihuacan, in Central America, the Indians were said to have had this technology. I don't know if it's connected to the Ark of the Covenant, in which there's this mercury and electromagnetism, and then they could get objects to suspend.
Mm-hmm.
They actually simulated this particular experiment online for everybody to see. But it's kind of vague in my mind. But what I wanted to really touch on was what Aaron really initially initiated was the fact that monotheism and the original forms and doctrines of Christianity predates Abraham's arrival, or the Abrahamic era. And I just would like for you to comment on that, because I find it very, very...
You said monotheism.
I'm juxtaposing exactly what you're saying, and then I could see where this is absolutely correct, because the Europeans, even in the spring of Mizraim and Kush and all the hieroglyphics, right?
Mm.
You would be able to juxtapose this as you speak. You see what I'm saying? And so this, we must be mindful of the fact that that something you said, that God actually communicates with us through the natural world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm gathering, because they have taken this knowledge away from us. He actually, this thing about climate change, God actually communicates with us through the natural world, man. Give thanks, man. I'll just hang up and listen to it.
Yes. So I think I caught the question. You were saying monotheism existed before Abraham. Is that what he asked? And in any event, let's be clear. When we talk, there are parallel doctrines. When you're reading scripture today, there are parallel doctrines. And so the Greco-Romans, they have their Abraham, okay? We as true Christians, we as Africans, we as Nazarenes, we have Abraham. Now, that sounds like just a sleight of tongue, right? It just sounds like you just, you know, one or two different inflections. What?
Like a regional difference in, right? In accent.
But in truth, the 3:1 talks about this serpent being the most subtle of all the beasts. So the subtlety comes in making us think that when we say Israel, that we're really saying Israel, right? That when we're saying Ishmael, that we're really saying Ishmael. That when we're saying Midiani. That or when they say Mitanni, that we're really saying Midiani. These names speak to two different groups of people. So when you say monos theos, you're really, monos is the god of sarcasm and pain in Greek mythology or theology.
So you say there's power in the name?
There is power in the name.
So there's power in words?
There is power in words. But we have to be clear as to what power works for us on our behalf. You understand, as African people.
So let's go back to magic.
Yep.
Is magic real? I go to, because there's a lot of things here now,
mm-hmm.
right? There's an advertisement right now on social media where this Indian gentleman is reading people's palms. So they're targeting Bahamians and say, come and get your palm read. If you have loved ones having issues, you come and get this potion. The Indian advertisement is... given, say, spells to ward off bad luck. Can I get a spell to ward off this bad luck? I seem to be having, and I'm not winning no money, because I need to buy a number.
Let's read that. Let's go to Proverbs. You got your Bible? Proverbs 26:2. All right. The first thing you should always be aware of in terms of people coming to supposedly help you is to understand if... So Proverbs 26:2 is what we're looking for, is to understand if you and this person have the same doctrine. You understand? Black people are considered the lowest of the lowest amongst Indian people. We are called the Sudra. We are called the Dalit. That's like the N-word in their language. Okay? Still to this day, when they talk about their caste system, that word caste is a word that refers to color. So if you're white, you're right. If you're brown, stick around. If you're black, stay back. Right? So that's the first thing. Proverbs chapter 26:2 says, as the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. So nobody could put a curse on you if there was no cause. In other words, if there was no action to cause a reaction, there's nothing for us to worry about. What you're calling a curse is something that you put out there that's coming back to you, mm-hmm. or something that you look for that you allowed into your life.
You're saying, I get fixed?
You could fix yourself then.
I go, if only I have to fix. It's like, what do you call it? Fate, not fate.
So every once in a while, when I feel emboldened, I just practice Obia. Mm-hmm. Right?
You're confessing again.
When I'm on the road, mm-hmm. I blow my horn at you, right? But I tell you why, because shame is a great moderator,
mm-hmm.
right? And so when you commit an egregious act on the road and I blow my horn, in most instances, that horn evokes a degree of shame.
Mm-hmm.
It will only evoke shame if you're ashamed of what you're doing.
Right.
If you know
shame.
Right. If you know what you're doing is not right.
Mm-hmm.
So those who get upset at me blowing the horn are those who know what they're doing is not right.
Right.
Let's
go to the caller and then continue with that.
Mm-hmm. That's
Sheem and Obia.
That's Obia.
And blowing horn. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey, good morning, Mr. Neary. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. I'm just checking if you do magic.
Hey, good morning, Miss Aaron.
Good morning, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing great. And to your guest, Mr. Neary, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Hey, Miss Aaron, I called in to clarify on the scripture that you just read just now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was in Samuel.
Who was it?
That a familiar spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because if you read the scripture carefully, because it mentioned God did not want to answer Saul by prophet, which is a living person,
mm-hmm.
by dreams or by Urim.
Mm-hmm.
So what makes you think now God will answer Saul by a dead person?
So that wasn't Saul that was conjured up.
That was Saul who seek for the woman who's the wizard. But the woman, when she do that, whatever ritual she do, it's a familiar spirit who take the form of Samuel.
But was not Samuel.
No, that wasn't Samuel. Because if you read in Luke chapter verse 27 to 28, whereas when Lazarus died and the rich man was died,
mm-hmm.
and then the Lazarus was on the bosom of Abraham,
mm-hmm.
and the rich man was in torment. And then when he looked over, he could see Lazarus and Abraham. And he complained, he said, Father Abraham, please send Lazarus to dip his finger in the cool water in my tongue, for I am in agony. And Abraham said, no, son, that cannot happen, because where you are, there is a great gulf between you and Lazarus. And then he keep persisting. He said, Father Abraham, please send Lazarus to my father's house, so I have five brothers, so he can warn them so they won't be able to come into this place of torment where I am.
Mm-hmm.
And Abraham responded, he said, son, they have the prophet and Moses to listen to. And the rich man keep on persisting. He said, no, please send them. You know, because if they find someone who come from the dead, maybe they might take heed. Abraham said, no, if they don't listen to Moses and the prophet, even if someone come from the dead, they will not be persuaded.
But let me ask you this. One minute, hold on, stop for me. Was this an anecdotal story or this actually happened? Like, this was a real dead person having this conversation?
Yeah, this is a real story Jesus
told. The parable. A made-up story that Jesus made to make the express.
You say you believe everything in the Bible,
but Jesus says a parable. He said, this is a made-up story that I'm making so you can understand better.
Okay, listen to this. Listen to this. When you read First Chronicle chapter 10, verse 13 to 14, it explained to you Saul died because he going to consult someone who are familiar spirit by disobeying the word of the Lord to seek for a familiar spirit, which is God forbid.
Question to you. When Jesus called out for Lazarus to bring him, could Lazarus hear him from wherever he was?
Jesus called Lazarus. That's why
heard Jesus. What you trying to say? The dead person heard Jesus?
No, listen to this. Jesus did not call the dead person.
Who did he call? The real person? You,
the real you is your spirit. Your body is just the frame, the covering.
So but Lazarus was you, not dead. Lazarus was. Hold on. You're trying to confuse me. Was Lazarus dead or not?
Lazarus is dead.
What? You're confusing me, man. Is he dead or alive? Lazarus.
No, listen to this. Listen to this, Mr. Neary. The spirit is never dead. Your body is the dust who will go back to the dust.
So you're saying that Saul, but Samuel was not dead. Samuel was not dead, but Samuel's spirit was alive.
Samuel, so for the Christian, when you die, your body go into the grave, but your spirit going in the rest place.
So you're saying that Samuel's spirit was alive, but he could get called out and come back?
No, that wasn't
Samuel.
I'm just talking about a possibility. Can Samuel be called up from wherever he was?
It can because Samuel is a prophet of God. No other wizard can call his spirit but God.
That's so what you're saying.
That wizard can call a familiar spirit to trick Saul.
So the familiar spirit give prophecy. Can the familiar spirit give prophecy?
Yes.
Oh, now I see what you're saying. So some familiar spirits can give prophecy or what can happen.
Can give prophecy. Now, Mr. Newey, listen carefully. I'm an Asian descendant, mm-hmm. and I grew up in voodoo. My father was a Robert man. My mother was a voodooism, right? And I watched them prophesy. I watched them telling the truth, but they using a wizard spirit.
Don't you hang up now. I got a commercial break. I'm coming back to you because you know voodoo, and I want to hear about how this voodoo is. I need to bring you on so I can find out how voodoo is work. Because I want to know about my...
The most important thing, Carla, is don't hang up the phone. If you have to go, I'm going to ask the producer to take your number, if you're willing. Stay tuned. 96.9 FM. We'll be right back on Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newey.
Bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. That makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome.
And welcome back. Guess, are you still there?
Yes, sir. Still
quick,
here.
Quick question.
Okay.
I always thought the people them who's doing that voodoo spectacle, which pretending, it's not real, that they drug people to say that they're dead, and then they bring them back and say, see, I have magic, but there's no such thing as magic. You trying to say that voodoo is real magic?
It is real.
You trying to say there's magic inside that?
And my mother used to telling me how she's seeing dead people communicate with her.
I see dead people all the time, man.
And my father was a Robert man, and they doing voodoo and magic and witchcraft and throw spell to people and killing innocent children.
You trying to say that voodoo could kill people?
Yes. Anything can kill people if you're not careful.
Shame has killed people, Nuri, all the time.
So why they ain't use it to kill the people who are oppressing them?
It don't work. It's all pretend.
They could use it to kill each other.
But let me finish this conversation because I need to invite you. We could get leave a number with the producer because I want to know more about it. Because I still believe all of that
Mr.
is
Nuri,
contrived.
Mr. Nuri, you remember the last time I called, I want to talk to you, and I left my number, but
yes.
You didn't call me back.
Do it again. No, do it again. The producer will take your call. Don't hang up.
Okay.
We get the producer.
We can have an entire show about voodoo and voodoo and any magic possibility. Because right. I don't believe in it. I don't believe nobody have no power to do nothing. All is pretend.
There's something else he said, right, that God wouldn't send you a dead person. God said he could send you living people, right? Mm-hmm. In this... DesiringGod.org, when you ask me to search the thing, right, they ask, you know, is there witchcraft in the Bible? And they say, yeah. And the person says, so these things are real? And the guy says, yeah, but the whole point is God has ordered you not to partake in it, right? It is real, but you've been told not to participate in it, and that's what the sin is. But there's something that the last caller said, when he said that, like, God is not going to send you a dead person. God said, I didn't send you living people. Rick Pryor had an amazing act he did in his early career. He came on stage, and it took people a little while to realize what was happening. But he came on stage, and he asked, where's Jesus? Almost in a panic. And the panic increases, because he's looking for Jesus. I need to know where Jesus is. And eventually someone in the audience tells him, but Jesus is dead. They killed Jesus a long time. And Richard Pryor almost freaks out. What do you mean Jesus is dead? And then he said, what about Martin Luther King? And what about Malcolm? And what about Emmett Till? What about, right? And the people in the audience end up saying, like, everybody is dead. And then you realize that Richard Pryor is God, right? He's acting out God. Mm. And he's crying. He's upset because he's like, and so somebody says, look, are we really sorry? Like, what can we do? You know, how can you help us? And he said, I done send you all right. And you all kill every one of them.
No, but we want fairy tales. That's the reality.
Yeah.
We
let's take this call out. Yeah. Because you said that there's magic, but the magic can't impact us. The gentleman who I can bring on the show soon, right? Because I don't believe not in magic at all. But anyway, let's go to the caller. Go ahead, caller. Caller girl, one, girl, twice, let's go.
Let's be clear. When we say magic, right, the reality is that the Magi were not called Magi from the word magic. Instead, the word magic was coined because of what the Magi did. The Magi are those who were utilizing a lower, unnatural form of magic versus the Magi, mm-hmm. who were utilizing a higher nature, a natural form. So they took the sciences of solar biology and they made it lunar astrology. So you can have two people looking into the sky and looking at constellations, and you could have one using astrology and you could have one using astronomy. Mm-hmm. One is an actual science and the other is an actual form of witchcraft or a form of what some people would refer to as magic. So what determines whether a thing is magical or whether a thing is scientific is the knowledge that you have of it. What has happened to us is we have fallen victim to fairy tales and sleight of hand, and we also choose to ignore those who've been sent to us. Because we don't want to listen to people who look like us. Anybody who got melanin, anybody who is a black man or a black woman, we don't trust them. We trust our oppressors. And that's witchcraft. The fact that a people could oppress you for over 400 years and you still trust them and will go to heaven with them is witchcraft. That is witchcraft. It's white magic. You understand? So we have to now slow down like we do on a Tuesday and look at scripture and begin to understand, like we said, in Exodus chapter 7, where it talks about these magicians. That word for magician is the word Khartoum. The Khartoum is the capital of Sudan. What was it that we were doing in Nubia as Nubian Melanites for us to rule ourselves? There is a science called hoodoo that becomes voodoo. And that hoodoo was something that was related to the first element of the periodic table called hydrogen. And that hydrogen is related to one called Atumre, or who they call Melchizedek in the Bible. So there is a science that we as a people can learn if we choose to look at the original books of the Bible, if we choose to actually appreciate languages and understand exactly what is being said in scripture versus what the oppressor told us is in the scripture, because if not, we'll keep running in this vicious cycle of fairy tales and magical stories. Meanwhile, murders happening every day.
And what's also important is that we become susceptible to fairy tales.
Right.
We become susceptible to false narratives,
right,
and spins.
You try and say, I can't get my magic pillow to heal me and have me get comfortable sleep?
You can. Here's what I'm saying.
What about my magic
water? If you believe that the magic pillow will help you and give you comfortable sleep,
why not go
sleep
to the hospital and give out magic pillows?
Because they don't work in the hospital.
Why not? Because science is in the hospital, right?
Because it only works in church.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a magic pillow. It's called a cervical neck pillow, and it was designed to hold my neck the way that it's supposed to sit.
Right.
I need to buy that magic scarf.
Which is science. Which is
let's
science.
Go quickly to this caller, and let's get the text ready because we're getting ready to leave. But let me squeeze this caller in. Go ahead, caller. Producer, pass the caller through. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Make it quick. We're getting ready to leave. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Good morning to Anku.
Good morning.
And Aaron.
Yeah, morning.
Anku, I have a question. In the original books, like you always talk about, you know, in the Bible it says God taught us how to pray.
Right.
What is it? Is it the same thing in the original book, or is there a specific way that we have to pray when praying? Because I know it says God taught us how to pray. Is that a thing?
Yeah, that is a thing. It's called sila, and that form of sila, there are nine different bodily positions that you're supposed to be in, and you prostrate. This is why the Messiah, when he was going to be crucified, when he went into the garden, he prostrated three times, which is significant of asking, seeking, and knocking in order to get his prayer answered. But each position correlates with a different part of the body, and there's a science to it, yes. It's called sila.
All right, thank you.
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead through the text, Aaron.
All right, text here says, the Indian caste system, although influenced by skin color, is mostly structured by profession, with the Brahmins, the academics and religious leaders on top, and the Sudras, unskilled workers, in addition to Dalits, untouchables, at the bottom. Another text, great show as usual. He's do voodoo. I ain't cracking no joke on him, Miss Green, y'all on y'all own with this one.
No, I bring in Alexis and I could try to get him on as early as Thursday.
And another text that says, I have a parable for y'all. Hell is hot.
Hell hot.
Remember that.
Hell hot.
Another text that said, Miss Green, Richard Pryor was a substance abuser. He was on cocaine. does that prevent him? Does that prevent him from manifesting truths? There's a professor now, a black man, all over the internet. He is a regular heroin user.
Right.
And he is one of their top academics.
Right.
And he's explaining to them how he functions with regular heroin use.
Right.
It's not the heroin that kills you. It's the stress that you may not get more heroin that kills you.
Yeah.
I mean, the heroin will kill you.
I want to say something about the caste, right? The word caste itself, it means race of men. That's literally what the word means. So I appreciate with the text is shared, but they're actually talking about race.
Let me see if I can squeeze in this caller.
Mm-hmm.
Caller, it tight. It's you, though. Go ahead.
Etymology.com.
Yes. Good morning. Talking about Christian witchcraft, but what about Hindu and all the other religions? Because I used to do yoga. I've been trained yoga teacher, and I saw some things that were real. I mean, I seem to myself to be a sane guy. I'm based heavily in reality, but I saw some things that they said they do in the lodge and they do in other different religions. So is it really like religion based, or it's just a human thing? Because most of the things that you guys, that everybody talk about, voodoo, hoodoo, whatever, it's a different name in a different religion. And it's real. I've seen it. It works.
Mm-hmm.
And
you saw magic in yoga?
Yeah, I saw levitation. I saw
the people lift
an apparition.
An apparition?
I saw the daylight in
I got to invite you in too.
Caller, give the producer your number.
Of course you got to come and talk about the yoga magic.
All out of time. Last text. I don't believe the Bible has fairy tales. I believe when Moses parted the Red Sea, that was a rarely seen phenomenon. We saw it a few years ago. It's called an ocean bulge where all the water disappears. I believe the other miracles are science. We didn't or don't yet understand.
I believe that. Thank you very much, Uncle Sarah. Next week, Tuesday again.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Aaron Green. We're going to reach out to Alexis and speak to him about voodoo on live radio.